Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of the Lord comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He will come and save you. When I was in high school, there was a poster or a placard in the weight room that said, bigger, faster, stronger. Bigger, faster, stronger. That was the goal of everyone that went into the weight room, right? To bulk up, get better muscles, so that in your performance, you could have a bigger win or a better time. And of course, the football players, the volleyball players, basketball players, wrestlers, they all worked out in there. Even the cross-country runners. I know I don't really look like a runner anymore, but that was, 25 years ago. But even outside of high school athletics, many of us wish that we had a better body, a different body. Maybe not bigger, but stronger, faster, healthier, not so stressed out, maybe younger. A better body means a better life. And sometimes when we look in the mirror, we are frustrated when we see our balding spots and our bulging middles. We get annoyed at our hair color or our height or our weight or any other number of things that we wish that we could change about ourselves. I mean, we live in a world that is obsessed with bodies. Think about this. Almost every television commercial that you see has to do with something for the body, right? It's either a medicine or it's a hair care product or a skin care product. Even, think about this, even the King Supers commercials or the cereal commercials are really about your body, right? It's about what you put in the body. So it's all about the body. But there are worse problems with our bodies than just the usual annoyances of not being as fit and trim as we want to be. Some of you struggle with chronic pain. It makes it very difficult to enjoy your work or your play, for that matter. And others of you have disabilities or severe illnesses, maybe even a terminal disease. A few of you have shared with me over the years that it hurts so much to get out of bed in the morning and just to go about the regular stuff that sometimes, honestly, you just wish the Lord would come and take you home. And there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. I mean, because we do want to find a time when we won't have the pain anymore, where we won't be worn out and feel like our bodies are working against us. Isaiah's words probably resonate with you. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Because you probably know what it's like to have weak hands with arthritis and feeble knees with, all the injuries and all of the, think about how many knee replacements and hip replacements we've had out of this place just in the last year. And so, of course, we try to stave off the inevitable. We diet, we exercise, we get surgery, we take protein powders, but no matter what we do to try to, put off the pain and everything, eventually we're going to wear out, we're going to weaken, we're going to break down, and we're going to die. Death and disease are the curse that we bear because of Adam and Eve's sin, because of the original sin that we inherit from birth. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And whether it's cancer or the common cold, every disease, every ache, every pain is a reminder that we are mortal. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return. The only people that are never going to die are the ones alive when Jesus comes back at that very moment. Otherwise, ain't nobody going to make it out of this life alive. The people of ancient Israel were feeling weak in the knees. They had their feeble hands. They were very much aware of their own mortality. Isaiah writes at a time when the northern kingdom of Israel had been already wiped off the map by the Assyrians, and he saw the coming judgment on the southern kingdom of Judah. and how because of the wave after wave of corrupt kings and priests that were hypocritical and did not serve God rightly, they were leading the people after foreign gods and to worship idols and to not be faithful to the Lord and his word and his commandments. And so as they turned away from the Lord, he turned them over to foreign powers that invaded them and conquered them as punishment. So Isaiah saw God's people were war-weary and hungry and battle-scarred, and their cities and villages were full of starvation and disease. And all of this was God's punishment for their crimes and their sins. Earlier in Isaiah, God described the punishments as hunger and thirst and even blindness. And God wanted to be sure that his people knew that he takes sin very seriously. But the Lord also knows that his people can only take so much. And he's rightly angered by our sin and by our wickedness. But his anger doesn't last very long. David says in the Psalms, his anger is for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Eventually, God relents. He eases up because he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And his actions prove his character. And after afflicting us, he heals us. After we choke on the bitterness of his law, we taste the sweetness of his gospel if we repent and confess our sin. And because of God's love and mercy, he can't hold a grudge against his people. It's why he promised to eventually drive out those foreign invaders. And it's why in our reading today, he promises an even better peace in a time of wholeness and healing. Strengthen the weak hands, he says, hands worn out from wielding sword and shield. Make firm the feeble knees, knees that are aching from charging into battle and from running away from disaster. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Your God will come and save you. Isn't that interesting? In Isaiah's day, they were looking for Yahweh to come and rescue them. And we still are looking, right, for Jesus to come, for the Lord to come back and to rescue us, to come and save us. And then Isaiah describes that salvation in ways that can only be called miraculous. He talks about the eyes of the blind being opened, the lame the lame leaping like a deer, the mute singing for joy. Bodies that were sick and weak and injured are strong. Stronger, bigger, faster. Bodies that were maimed are made whole. And where there was previously blindness and deafness, now there is sight and hearing. The people of Isaiah's time did not know when that glorious time would come. But looking back on it through the lens of the New Testament, we know that this is a prophecy of the healing ministry of Jesus. In fact, he alludes to many of these very same things that are listed in Isaiah 35 when he tells John the Baptist's disciples to go and report back to him what they see and hear, that the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them. And he points back to the message of Isaiah as proof that he himself is truly Messiah. So we say, that's great. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was here, and he healed the blind and the lepers and the deaf and the mute. But what's he done lately? We're still hurting. We're still waiting for this fulfillment of Isaiah's vision. We still suffer the wreckage of sin in our bodies, even all these years after Christ came. And so, we have to remember that God's promise still remains, and his word is true. And when Jesus does come back, as it says, your God will come with vengeance, he will come and save you. When Christ comes back, when Jesus returns, we will see the fulfillment. When our great healer, our great physician comes. The words of Isaiah And Jesus' words to John are also God's word for you, to not give up, to keep hope alive, that you do indeed have a God who forgives your sins and heals your diseases. And even now, God loves to heal his people. And sometimes he does that through the ministry of doctors and nurses and pharmacists and the medical community. And sometimes he does it through immediate miracles in answer to prayer that can't be explained in medical terms. I can't tell you how many times after we have prayed for someone at church or on our prayer chain, God has delivered them from cancer or from pneumonia or from a really bad accident or injury. But in our naturalistic scientific mindset, we can be so quick to just dismiss it as just the result of human medical intervention and forget that all of this healing comes from our God. And so we look to his second advent. We look to the last day when Christ comes and all death and disease will be banished forever. See, sometimes healing comes in this life, but some healing won't come until the next life. And even the people, you know, that we pray for and God heals them of pneumonia or cancer or whatever it might be, lupus, they're still going to die of something else someday, right? And even the people that the beggar by the pool of Bethesda that Jesus allowed him to walk, or the paralyzed man that came down through the roof, those people still died someday. They also are still looking for that ultimate healing on the last day when Christ comes back, when he will give us new bodies, bigger, faster, stronger, no longer subject to death and disease, when the blind will see and the deaf will hear and the mute will speak and the lame will leap and there will be no more hunger and no more thirst and no more painful scorching heat. There will only be joy and peace and the wonderful presence of our God who came with vengeance to save us. And in the meantime, we have his word as a guarantee of the promise. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those with an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He will come and save you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.